Today I would like to discuss a little bit about the simplicity of bhakti, how simple it is if we can catch the essential spirit. You will actually be very relieved and happy. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vajayane Nivesesha Nivane Satyare Sudhane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gopinatha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In one of our very important scriptures, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we find different devotees on different, let me say, stages, if you so wish. The question there is, who has gotten the most mercy of Krishna? I feel when we go to Braj, this question of mercy is also very much in our heart, the heart of the pilgrim. We here in Braj survive on the mercy of Radha and Krishna. That is our sustenance, our means of nourishment. So how to obtain the mercy of Lord Krishna? That is the subject matter of devotees, how they talk amongst themselves. How to obtain the mercy of Radha? This is a really the question in Braj. And I wanted to read to you today how Uddhava, the confidential associate of Lord Krishna, speaks about Krishna's mercy. I have briefly mentioned this yesterday under the full moon and the moonlit night. I would like to read to you the exact verse today. My dear infallible Lord, says Uddhava, it is not at all astonishing that you intimately relate with your devotees who have taken shelter of you, such as Nanda Maharaj, the Gopis, and Bali Maharaj. After all, during your appearance as Lord Ramachandra, when even great personalities such as Brahma desired to place the tips of their crowns at your lotus feet, you nevertheless showed more affection for monkeys, such as Hanuman, because they had taken exclusive shelter of you. From this verse, it seems that the devotees who have just taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet get more mercy than even the powerful ruler of the universe, who is Krishna's right-hand manager for the material world, gets. Because Krishna is impressed by one thing only, and really only one thing. And this, what impresses Krishna, Hare Krishna, is if a devotee takes exclusive shelter with him. Now, exclusive shelter means the devotee has given up other shelters. And he takes exclusively the shelter of Krishna. The devotee who takes exclusive shelter doesn't need to be a creator of the universe. He doesn't need to be intelligent. He doesn't need to be sense controlled. He doesn't need to know different yoga techniques. He doesn't need to come from a good family. He doesn't need to be learned or beautiful or rich or anything. Just this one qualification of taking shelter to Krishna is enough to just control the Lord. The example which has been given is that a powerful king will sometimes allow to be controlled by his Brahmin counselors, who will tell him, do this, invest here, don't make a war here, better to make peace here, and so on. And he's totally controlled by his Brahmin counselor, although he's certainly more powerful than the Brahmin counselor. He could dismiss him and say, you are fired, as happens in the kingdoms. But he voluntarily says, no, I will do what my counselor tells me. Yesterday we had an example from Maya Puchanda and Padma. I was asking how long Padma will stay with how long Maya Puchanda and Padma will stay with us. And Maya Puchanda said, well, as long as the princess wants. Mayapur Chanta was, in this case, controlled by the affection of his daughter, and had given the time scheduling, which is usually what men like to do, into the hands of a little nine years old child. So this happens in the kingdom of love. We become controlled by those whom we love. And Krishna is the same in regards to his devotees. The child doesn't need to be qualified. It just needs to be take shelter at the father, and then the father's love is drawn out of his heart. So a devotee also who takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet will get his special attention. It is said that when Lord Ramachandra had appeared, Brahma often wanted to see him, but he was denied his audience. But Ramachandra had all the time in the world for the monkeys, because the monkeys had taken shelter of him. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Ramachandra established friendship with monkeys, and as Krishna he enjoyed tending the cows in the pasturing grounds of Vrindavan and would steal butter and distribute it to the monkeys. So Krishna seems to care for the devotees who have made themselves dependent on him. He is a purport where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, although personalities like Brahma are also the Lord's devotees, they are placed in responsible positions and thus are not exactly like the fully surrendered devotees. The Lord gives preference to a helpless devotee who depends completely on His mercy. The only way to obtain the Lord's mercy is by doing this and that. No. The only way to obtain the Lord's mercy is through His causeless love. And the Lord is most lovingly inclined toward those devotees who are most dependent on Him, just as ordinary mothers and fathers worry more about their helpless children than about those who are self-sufficient. We have to learn to become helpless. That is, to translate it into modern English, we have to learn to understand that Krishna, and only Krishna, is our help and guidance. Ordinary fathers and mothers are like this towards the most helpless children. They are extremely protective. I will never remember what a dog mother taught me in Puri. The dog mother had just given birth to very young children, but there were also older children. Now a reckless car driver came and drove over the young children who were on the side of the road and killed a few and broke legs or whatever of a few others. You should have seen the mother dog. She had other children also. She was very much in demand amongst the male dog population. But when her helpless children were just so brutally killed, she became like a lioness. She jumped up and she ran after that jeep and jumped on the jeep from the back. Then it overtook it. Then it jumped from the front. It was just so extremely, you know. She said, "This is not okay, and you're going to pay for this." You know, she was really so empowered by the love, or here the hurt love. My children have been. Some have been killed and others have been hurt, you know. And immediately that mother instinct was, I was amazed. I mean, to see this, how the mother was just so concerned. So Lord Krishna gives preference to a helpless devotee who depends completely on His mercy. The only way to obtain the Lord's mercy is through His causeless love. And the Lord is most lovingly inclined toward those devotees who are most dependent on Him. Just as ordinary mothers and fathers worry more about their helpless children than about those who are already self-sufficient. So the secret of entering Vrindavan is really to become helpless and to helplessly turn to Krishna. Often there is this example given of obtaining Radha's kripa. The story is about a she-jackal who, after a long journey, arrives at Shiva Kyori. That's a little outside of Radhakund, and you pass it when you do the Giriraj Parikrama. And the jackal drank water there. It's a she-jackal because the jiva, the living entity in her, by her nature, is female actually. It's prakriti, to be enjoyed by the Lord. So this refers to the jiva, you know, looking for shelter. So that then, near the she-jackal, after drinking water from Shiv Kyari, that's the lake, goes to Malhari Kund. Once we almost bought Alhari couldn't. And I wanted to make a retreat for the devotees. But then I decided, I don't want to be an owner of anything in Vrindavan. You cannot even own a speck of dust here. Mm. Anyways, it went to Malhari Kund. There it was attacked by some boys. Jackals are not very much in demand in Vrindavan because they sometimes attack young babies. Maybe also if you would go alone through the field, but in the night when the sun sets this time, then the jackals are active. They better not to go because of size. Your size is not yet full size. So the boys were attacking the jackal, and the jackal then flew. How do we say flew? Fled. Thank you very much. The jackal fled into a cave. This is described that the analogy continues, when the jiva looks for shelter, at that time it's sure that the jiva will be attacked by his inner enemies, kam, krodh, lobh. If you want to surrender to Krishna and look for shelter, rest assured, it won't be so easy. You will be tested. So finally, it's a beautiful analogy. The jiva, the jackal, finds shelter in a deserted foxhole where the boys cannot go. But the boys know what to do. They put straw before the cave and put it on fire, the straw, so that now the smoke enters the cave. And the jackal has two options. Either it will die from suffocation in the cave, or it will run out, and the boys with their sticks will carry it, will beat it. What this means in our analogy is, when you look for shelter and you are attacked by the six enemies within, you must go into a hole, and the hole are the safe lotus feet of Guru Maharaj, of our spiritual master. You must seek for shelter there. That is the protection against the six enemies. In the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, many obstacles are given, like kam and krodha and lobha, and remedies against calm, for instance, is given. One should make plans with determination, like making a plan to fast on Ekadasi, or like you have made a plan yesterday to complete your Giriraj Parikrama. It was, it needed some determination to complete, but when you make plans with determination, that determination can carry you. So, yes, there are many, many remedies against calm. You do this, make plans with determination. Against krodha, you do this. Against envious, you do this. But then it says, but by surrendering to the spiritual master, you can take care of all your enemies, if you can surrender. However, even if you surrender to the spiritual master, some disturbances will come. Doubts will come on your path. It is said when the devatas see that a disciple wants to surrender to the spiritual master, they send doubts to the disciple. It's interesting. Up till now we have heard that the devatas sent sensual attractions to someone who wants to surrender. You know, like to yogis, they are seeing beautiful ladies from the heavenly planets dancing before them, and we hear like this. But there is a shloka which I found in Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj's writings, which say that when you want to surrender to your spiritual master, you get doubts by the spiritual master. Will I be able to surrender? Or, you know, the doubts can go, I mean, there's no limit to the doubts which the mind can produce, philosophical doubts, whatever. So the smoke will come and will bring you away from the spiritual master. You will see. Many devotees who are Prabhupada disciples have been driven away by smoke, and the disciples of other spiritual masters have been driven away by smoke. It's unfortunately natural in this material world. Test. So what should you do at that time? At that time, the jackal... what should you do? You must cry for the shelter of Radharani. I'm your lost servant in this world. Please help me. The jackal cried. So much that Radha said to Lalita, "Who's crying? It's Radha Kunji here, my kingdom. Go and find out." And Lalita came back with the report. "A village scene," she said. The boys tried to kill a jackal. Said Radha, "This is my lake. This cruel thing should not go on. Just send the boys away and bring the jackal to me." And this was what was happening. The Lalita took a disguised form and sent the jackal, the boys away, gave some candies to the boys and sent them away and took the jackal before Radha. And Radha has in one hand often a toy lotus. The decoration of Srimati Radharani is complete by placing a toy lotus in her hand. And with this toy lotus, she touched the head of the poor jackal, and the jackal immediately took on her shining manjari rupa, form of a maidservant, a protected maidservant. The Sanskrit word is palyadasi, as far as I have read. The protected maidservant of Radharani. So this is one of the many illustrations of what is said here. If you are really helpless, that means either you have no other shelter or you have given up your other shelters. No? Then Krishna becomes inclined towards the devotees or Srimati Radharani, like ordinary mothers and fathers worry most about their most helpless children. Learn to admit your helplessness. I don't want to say learn to become helpless. You are already helpless. Did you know that you are helpless? You cannot walk in the spiritual world. You have only legs to walk in the prison. You only have eyes to look in the prison. You only have senses to smell the prison walls. You are helpless in the freedom of the spiritual world. You cannot walk there on your own. You need to be taken by the power of the Lord. The mercy is the only active principle in delivering a soul from this world. No other principle can give you freedom. Prabhupada says like this. Learn to admit your helplessness. And that it might take a few tears before you do it. It might take a few disillusionments before you do it. But if you can feel helpless before Krishna, help is given very soon. By the way, the last thing a soul wants to do is to admit the helplessness. We are trained that to admit helplessness is the ultimate human failure as a human being. I've written about this in my... Oh, I should not talk anyways. A little advertisement is okay. About a little book, Naam Rahasya, The Confidential Secrets of Chanting. Helplessness. Shukadev Goswami speaks that we have an army of protection around us. A psychological army of protection. Admit your helplessness, then you're ready for Braj Bhakti, Hare Krishna. Then your heart will open, then the milas will come. Please. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Deepa, come in, sit with us.
I have some guests.
Yes. Please. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Welcome in this wonderful atmosphere. Come and sit with us. Maybe we can all, you can all come forward and give some. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Welcome. Please do close the door. No, if you're comfortable to sit here, yeah? Betty. Thank you for coming, Deepa. Would you like to have a cushion for against the... Good. We are just in the midst of a pravachand. I will end it after some time. And then. But thank you very much for giving us the pleasure of your association. Who has come with you, Deepak?
This is my sister.
Ah!
From Delhi. Her name is Renu. And this is my brother-in-law, Hari Kishore.
Yes. And the children.
The daughters, Nidhi and...
Nidhi, yes.
And Prachi.
You're most welcome. Every one of us has made an army around himself, an army of defenses. And to admit to the Lord that we are helpless, we need your help, is the last thing which will come over our lips and over heart. My secret conviction in life is that this is a great problem. It is often said that an eye which cannot cry in helplessness will soon be dead. If there's dust coming into the eye and there are no protective water channels in the eye, you develop first a dryness in the eye, then the skin will become rash, and then the eye becomes blind. There are channels, water channels in the eye, which are made in order to keep the eye moist so that the dust can go. And there are also a protective mechanism like crying. I, for instance, use oil. And sometimes the oil, it happens actually almost every day because I'm not very attentive in this, comes in the eye. And then to get the oil out, the biting oil, tears come and wash it out. So a devotee must develop this humility, a humility which develops ultimately into tears in the eyes, so that the material contaminations are washed out of the eye. Otherwise his vision will be dead. We must develop this humility. Braj teaches you to become humble. Braj will send camels to step on your toe if you are not humble, thorns on your parikram if you are not humble, many mental problems and feelings of unpleasantness in your mind when you are not humble, or just intense Brijbasi treatment when you are not humble, until you finally become humble. Until you finally can admit your feeling of helplessness before Krishna and come to the reality of your spiritual life. And that moment where a devotee admits the helplessness, Krishna gives mercy. And this refers to any devotee, not just high-class devotee. Krishna gives mercy to the to those who have fallen, and lifts them to the next step in their devotional life, until one day he will reveal his beautiful form to them. Now, if you wish to enter this school of getting the mercy of Krishna, there's one thing which is very important. And I was very happy. I met today Padma's opa. Do we say opa? Grandfather. Grandfather. And Shruta Kirti Prabhu. And he told me a very nice story which I had heard before, which I wanted to narrate to you. It was at the end of a morning walk. One of Prabhupada's disciples wanted so much to ask Prabhupada a question, but he didn't have an opportunity to do so. So finally, Prabhupada came into the, sat down in the car. Shruta Kirti closed the door of the car, but this disciple was burning with a question, and he ran to the car, to the door, and said, "Prabhupada, can I please ask you a question?" It was an odd situation to ask the question. Prabhupada was just leaving and going to the temple. Prabhupada looked at his disciple and he saw the question was a serious question. He said, "What is your question?" "Prabhupada, what do we need to become Krishna conscious?" Prabhupada gave an answer in one word. And his disciple was satisfied with this. Desire. Vroom, and the car went. Everything had to be said. At another time, Prabhupada was asked again, "What do we need to become Krishna conscious?" And Prabhupada answered this time slightly different. He said, "Eagerness, lolyam, is the only prize to enter Krishna consciousness." Then in Hawaii, Prabhupada was on a morning walk at the beach. A devotee asked the same question again. "Srila Prabhupada, by what do we become Krishna conscious?" Prabhupada turned around to the devotee and said, "By your anxiety." Then he explained what he meant. He talked of Mother Yashoda, who was always anxious for Krishna. I think you must have heard when Krishna went to the forest, or when Krishna goes to the forest each morning, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda come with him, followed by all the Brijbasis who live in the village Vrindavan. And Yashoda just continues to dress Krishna, continues to give advices to Krishna. My boy, my heart breaks to see you going in the forest. There's so much sun. No, no, mother, says Krishna. The trees are supplying sufficient amount of shade. Ah, no, but when you walk with your soft feet on the hard pebbles of Vrindavan, you will hurt your feet. No, mother, there are the Krishna Saradiyas who with their tails sweep the forest paths so that all the pebbles go away. Don't worry. But Krishna, your stomach is already very thin. You have not eaten enough this breakfast. Here, take this. And she gives him some food. And Krishna gets a little embarrassed before his friends, because mother doesn't allow him to just go on. And then Mother Yashoda, so much anxiety, she said, but maybe some forest demon or something. And since she instructs some cowherd boys who carry a bow to walk in front, and one to the left side, and Bhadrasena to the right, and Virutapa in the back, you know, and I forgot how many times, but 7 times or so, Mother Yashoda finally is convinced by Krishna to return back, but then another anxiety comes into her mind, and again she runs to Krishna with some worry. Prabhupada said, by your anxiety, you will become Krishna conscious. But then he said, your problem is that you only worry about yourself from morning till evening. Krishna's mother, Yashoda, was worrying about Krishna. The very tendency, Deepak, has to be taken away from the business and from your, how is Krishna, are my deities taken care of, and so on. Today I spoke with a wonderful devotee. Can I talk about, Gaurahari and myself know about one devotee. He has deities, and when the night came, then he thought, well, Krishna is, Radha and Krishna are now going out in the forest of Vrindavan. We don't need to put an extra candle there so that there's light. Also, they enjoy pastimes on the spiritual level. There's enough light. Everything is made of light in the spiritual world, like Krishna says. No need of sun, no need of fire, no need of moon in the spiritual world. And the devotee did not put a candle in the night. Now, each night, the devotee was attacked by a cruel Brahmin Rakshasa. Brahmin Rakshasa, you must know, are Brahmins who know the mantras, but who became demons. That means you cannot use any mantras against them. When you pronounce a mantra, they just go, ha ha, I know that one also. You know, and so this devotee was chanting, Nishingadev, Nishingadev, Nishingadev. So, have you ever been attacked by a ghost? It's terrible. Maya Pachana, you never?
Enough ghosts,
yeah. I also had my share in this life. It's so terrible. They come into you and they control all your senses. You feel like if someone is on you and you can't shake him off, and he's going to do something very, very dirty with you, and he's going to be successful. This is how you feel. It's very, very bad.
Anyone here with ghost experience? Yeah? But the real thing, oh, it's terrible. In Heidelberg we had. He had a Schlapphut, you know, like this. He would always get me in my little room. You know. Anyway, so the devotee called out, Nrsingadev, Nrsingadev, but the ghost became stronger and just gave it to him. Now, after four struggling nights like this, one Brijbasis are very nice, or one devotee living in Braj, said, came into the room which was a little darkish, and there was no candle to give light to the deity. I mean, there was also no electricity, you know. And he said, "What are you doing, Krishna, standing in the darkness? But you must bring a candle." So the devotee brought the candle and was already fearing, okay, the next night will come and I will be again beaten into a lump of flesh psychologically. But that night, where he had placed the candle before the Lord, Renu, that night, no nightmares, no ghost, gone. Because the devotee had forgotten to worry for Krishna. So Prabhupada said, you need to have anxieties for Krishna, that everything is right for Krishna. Now, what does this teach to us? The three answers. They all really talk about desire, different levels of desire. This is almost like water. We call cold water, we call it water. Warm water, we call it water. And boiling water, we also call it water. So first, the devotee should desire to become Krishna conscious. Then that water becomes warm, in the form of eagerness, where he really is very eager to have water. And finally, there is anxiety for Krishna, which is the boiling point. We hear of the gopis and their amazing anxiety for Krishna. They were thinking, oh, Krishna, Krishna, when you walk through the forest of Vrindavan, the pebbles are there. Your soft feet are already feeling the hardness of our chest. How much more they will feel the hardness of the pebbles of Vrindavan. They're fully of anxiety. Absorbed in Krishna's needs, in Krishna's pleasures. This is how desire brings you to Krishna, because there are different levels of desire. Desire turns into eagerness and then into anxiety for Krishna. This is how to become Krishna conscious. We are now so much self-concerned. Therefore, we take on the service of Vaishnavas. We care for them. We care for their needs. With affection. Some of you know I was very ill in the last year, but I had such wonderful servants who were just thinking about the needs which were there, and this and that, and here this medicine, and here this specialty macrobiotic something, and so on. And I can never forget these devotees, how they cared for me and how they had anxiety. My God, this is not working now, and he must now take this and so on. This is what we should learn in relationship to Vaishnavas first, and to our spiritual master, and also to Krishna. This is how we ascend on the ladder of desire. But desire is really the only thing which you need in Krishna to become Krishna conscious. Start with your desire somewhere and increase it. Like water, start in the cold form and then have boiling water at the end. Krishna, Krishna. Let me see if I have taken it. I think I'd have everything. Finally, one last point I want to make this evening. Allow miracles to happen. What do you think about this, Mahapurushika? Sounds wonderful, isn't it? Allow miracles to happen in your life. Radha Sundari, miracles. Wunder. When we are in Braj, expect a miracle. Expect that Krishna comes and shows you something and helps you. When you, it is very important, in Braj you must expect miracles. If you never think Krishna comes, Krishna can come in your life. Krishna can help you, can give you mercy. That's a miracle. Will not happen. But if you come here and think, Krishna can reveal himself to me. Krishna can change my heart. Krishna can give me ruchi, even me. Although I have almost given up on me. But Krishna can do this. Expect miracles. Braj is the land of miracles. It is said in the Krishna Lila Stava, it's a wonderful book, Krishna, you are already prepared to give those who practice detachment liberation from this world. Now, if you are already prepared to give a high reward to the Vairagis, how much more will you give to your devotees? You will give them Krishna Prema. I read today. So please expect miracles. This is the place. Every step something can happen. To me, my miracle happened yesterday. Yeah. I'm still overwhelmed. I cannot talk about it now. I have to do some more digesting and then I can tell you. Such a miracle. Now I have to change my life. Krishna. Here in this, one way to make miracles happen is if you adopt the teachings of this book, Sri Krishna Lila Stava. Sri Krishna Lila Stava introduces us to a way of bhajan which very quickly gives fruits. Do you know how the Goswamis performed the bhajan? Sankhya Purvakana Magana Natibi. They would offer their obeisances in a scheduled way, it said. Mostly that meant for a devotee like Raghunath Goswami, he would be before his kutia and offered, I think, 1,000 obeisances to the Vaishnavas, and then he offered obeisances to the different Leela stans, that is the place of Krishna's Leelas, and also to the Leelas. So this book teaches you how to do this. It mentions a few, mentions Leelas, or one Leela, and then afterwards it says obeisances number 46. That's your 46 obeisances. You really do it. You go down, you can choose. There are four types of obeisances. One is the Panchanga, then is the Dandavat, full body obeisances. Then is like this, and then is like this. This is another obeisances. I call it the lazy man obeisances, but it's all right. It's counted. You can read it and then go Namaha after that and meditate about that lila and pay your obeisances. I prefer to do Dandavat. This book teaches you. It's an amazing thing because once you learn to bow down to Krishna and his Leela. Miracles happen. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that Krishna, the Krishna Pranami, what was it? This is quoted here in the purport. Would you like to know this? Anyways, you know that I want to. It must be in the very beginning. Here, namaskara. Yeah, here it is. It's from the Narada Purana. Ekopi Krishnaya krita pranamo dashashvamedava priterna tulya dashashvamedi punaeti janma Krishna pranamina puna bhavaya. Completing 10 Ashwamedha sacrifices cannot compare with offering a single obeisance to Krishna. He who has performed 10 such sacrifices is born again in this world, but not he who has once bowed down to Krishna. So there is a whole movement in India, it's called the Krishna Pranami movement, where they just do that. Obeisances, obeisances, obeisances. It's authorized, it's from the Narada Purana. It's more than 10 Ashwamedha sacrifices. So if you do that and meditate about the Leela of Krishna, the Leela will come in your heart and something will happen. All those who have done Dandavat Parikramas have experienced wonders and miracles on the Parikrama. Animals behaving like yogis towards them. Things which became immediately clear to them in their hearts, and so on. Please obtain this book, Sri Krishna Leela Stava, written by Sanatana Goswami and published in a very nice translation by Gopi Paranadan Prabhu and with very nice purports from an unknown Vaishnav author. Very nice and very explanatory. So, yes, there are also obeisances to Krishna's mercy. Here's one miracle. Sanatana Goswami offers his obeisances to Krishna, and he says the gopis have described Vrindavan's transcendental fame and qualities, and I am now living in Vrindavan. That's a miracle. And then he says, now you make your name appear from my mouth, and sometimes you allow me to remember your lotus feet in my heart. That's a miracle. Expect miracles, Madhva Muni. Expect miracles. Your mercy is a great miracle, non-different from you. Your mercy is pure eternity, knowledge and bliss. Your mercy can empower me to always remember and glorify you. And pure love, what a miracle. Your mercy can obtain for me your loving sidelong glance. If Krishna is merciful, he could look at us. Your mercy can enable me to see you immersed in the company of the cows and the cowherd boys and girls. Thus, for a helpless person like me, and this is summarizing our lecture today, thus for a helpless person like me, your mercy is the ultimate resort of all hopes.
Yes.
I offer my obeisances forever to your mercy. Wonderful. You are in the mercy land, the wonder land, which can make the unexpected happening. Open your heart to miracles. Expect miracles. Don't close your heart. And when you suffer in Vrindavan, good. Give your suffering to Giriraj. Then if you say, I'm feeling this pain, give it to Krishna. When, after we had installed Krishna and Balaram in the temple, Radhesyam Sunda temple, the next day Prabhupada sat in his room and was laughing and laughing and laughing. The devotees asked, why are you so happy? He was just smiling and laughing. Now there are no longer problems. Whenever you have some problems, go to Krishna and Balaram and say, I have this problem. I have this problem in my heart. And they will take the problem away. Don't doubt. This is how Prabhupada said. So I was reminded of this, you know, you can learn so much from the devotees who live here. One devotee told me this. Dinabandhu, you know Dinabandhu. This nice, very loving Vaishnava at Govindakund, who just took care of you yesterday, your prasadam, he took care of that. He said, I said to him, my mind is not good, my heart is not good, because I was just coming and feeling what everyone feels who goes to Vrindavan, an intense sense of disqualification. And he said, no problem, no problem. Give mind good, mind bad. Give to Giriraj. This is also what Prabhupada seemed to say, you know, when the deities. We just say, this is my problem. Please take care. I am a little weak. Hari Kishori, what do you think? What do you think? This must be done, no? Must be done, yeah. Alright. Now I want to see if we have, if there are any questions. Yeah.
I heard from an older devotee a paradox that it's about being humble.
Yeah.
That when we do an offense, attentively or inattentively, it depends whether our hearts tell us we shouldn't do this, but still we do it somehow because we just cannot control, or if we just do it inattentively, like out of some reason. And if you really repent, if you really feel sorry, then that is the feeling, then you feel really humble. And then you run to Radha Krishna and say, oh, I've done this. And when you talk about being humble, and I also realized in my life many times that this feeling, and I try to be humble, but I cannot come into this feeling artificially,
mm-hmm.
and into this real feeling of helplessness that you have been just saying.
Talking about here.
So, what would that mean? Is it true in the first place? What the devotee said is that sometimes when we do an offense, it's even good because then we really feel humble and then.
Aha,
uh-huh. Is it true? And how to practice? This
I feel you should ask the devotee a little who said it, because he must have had something in the mind. But what I know is that an offense usually counts as an offense when there is the intention, the Absicht, to do harm to someone. But if you just you really didn't know it, you know.
Like it says, we shouldn't step on Giriraj, but you know, if doing a parikrama I don't want to give this example here in Giriraj. What I want to say is, this is maybe not the best example. Let us say you in unbeabsichtigt, without intention, just do something wrong because you really don't know. You're the first time in Vrindavan. It's really not counted as an offense. But if there is some negligence, Nachlässigkeit, or if there is some anything character-wise not so well, then that is a problem. Aparat. Comes from rat. Rat means pleasing. Aparat is something which is not pleasing to Krishna. We were walking today and some nice Brijbasi children, but you know how they are, they sometimes are insistent. And we just talked that we just will be very humbled. We are here only visiting devotees. Let's be very careful not to create something. Now you spoke about, that is all I know on the first part of the question. I would not like to comment on the question because I, at this moment, I don't know how the devotee meant it. I don't, so, but let me, there was something else which I wanted to say. We cannot artificially come into the feeling of helplessness. So you said maybe the devotee said, therefore it's sometimes good that we do something wrong and then we really see it and become helpless. As I said, this is what the devotee said, and he must have a proper reason to have this in mind. I would, you know, from what I see, how to get into a helpless condition, which is not artificial. I believe the first thing is awareness, really. You must be a little bit aware of what's going on with you, and then you see it. Most of the time we are not aware. Our mind tricks us into thinking something about ourselves which is not true. So we must become aware who we are. And usually that awareness who we are comes when we are not afraid to go to some first class devotees who can see and even tell us if we wish to know. I see that association of devotees is a mirror, and it usually shows you if you wish to know. Usually that works. I always find out that when you really wish to know, is everything all right with me? Then you meet the devotees who show you where you need to improve. Like I know when I was not for a whole year not in Vrindavan, I'm just a little more covered by Western influences. I do know this, and when I come to Vrindavan, I'm very careful. I'm also afraid to go anywhere alone. Usually I can walk for days alone in the darkness and so on without problem. But I know I'm now from the West. I must be careful. There's something Western will be with me. But I really wish to know, because I know I've only a limited time to do. And then I usually, when I find out I wish to know where to improve, I meet the devotees who show me. Like yesterday I was with Burijan Prabhu. He opened a very nice thing. Today I was with Shruta Kirti, and he told me something. Not even to me personally, but the way he talked, I immediately know this is what is arranged by Krishna. If you are a little aware or looking for awareness, bhakti besa, being ready to acknowledge that your way may not be the best way, then Krishna can show you, mostly through devotees. And you should be extremely attentive to these signs. If you are not willing to look into the mirror, which comes with, who can help you to see the places, the spots? So especially I've seen in the land of Braj, devotees usually are mirrors. And we find in the life history of devotees, always that devotees are helped by other devotees. Even very high class devotees. We find that Krishna sent these devotees their way. He just does it. So in Braj, you really need to have the faith that what happens here is happening under Radharani's thing. And every little thing often is some sign, if you're ready to know. That's the miracle of Braj. It's really a move carefully in Braj. The moment you move carelessly and confident, boom, you know, soon something will come. But the moment you go, Hare Krishna, no, then you know you're right. Once there was an ugly man. Every day he looked into a mirror to put on, to shave his face. But because the mirror showed him his ugly face, he got a carnival mirror which had a little whoop. And so his nose was actually too much on the right side, but because the carnival mirror was one of these, you know, funny mirrors where every normal person looks funny and you go, his nose became on the right, became centered rightly. So then, this is usually the way we think about us. We have our carnival mirror for ourselves. We are good, or at least we mean good. But then, so the man, so his friend thought, this poor man, he has a carnival mirror, most probably he's too poor. If he has birthday, I will give him a crystal mirror. So he gave him a crystal mirror. And when the man looked into the crystal mirror, he saw how ugly he was. His nose was 2 centimeters to the right side. It really looks ugly when like a monster, you know. Or a tapir, you know. You know. And when he saw himself in this mirror, he took the mirror and threw it on the ground because he couldn't tolerate to see that. To see the truth about him. So often we run away from devotees when they show us our mistakes, and because we can't tolerate it to see it. So in Braj, it's good to see everywhere, to be aware. I mean, I'm thinking now of so many traditional examples, but it would be a little long. At the same time, don't do the other mistake, that is, that you interpret everything, that this happened or that happened, and I went out of the door, and a mosquito came, and this meant that now I should become a practicing doctor who gives injections, you know. you have to be also careful to not get mental. Therefore, you need to be a good devotee who is willing to weed the weeds in the garden of the heart, and then this mirror effect takes place in all seriousness. Hare Krishna. You know, when I give these examples, my dear devotees, I always feel so bad, really. Because, you know, I'm preaching so heavy sometimes. Do you notice? But, see, I have something which changed my life, I think. I hope. I felt at one stage it's not sure that I will survive the next night. And especially when my doctor said, we can't help you, you have to go through this alone. Now pray and meditate or do something your way. Then I knew it was bad. But I survived it. I mean, it was only one day which was extremely bad. And now I'm just thinking, Prabhu, let us go back home, back to Godhead. Let us be willing to become attracted to Krishna and detached from Maya. Let us be willing. Let us give our best in this. And I believe the devotee family is there to help us in this. And also to lovingly say it. I say things like this. I believe it should be said. I'm aware that nowadays in the modern day in ISKCON you have to think 50 times before you tell the truth. Because everyone is so insecure in their lives and cannot hear even a little. But I just feel, let us feel like a family where we can talk about things. We are in Maya, and Maya is so bad, so heavy. And anyways, we can practice a little humility and helplessness, that we need the mercy. The one who cries the loudest, Besa, gets the most mercy in that helpless way. So devotees can help us to come to this, as they are mirrors. But it takes courage. If you have looked all your life into a carnival mirror, like myself has done, then to get a real mirror is sometimes astonishing. Mahapurushika Prabhu.
Once you was asking on Samarkand devotees, what are the kind of devotees that we appreciate the most? So at that time I was thinking that, like, the kind of persons, devotees, that don't have, if I'm able to see, like, dark angles about themselves. This is the Vaishnavas that appreciate the most. But now I can see that searching for such a person in our society, I may develop a tendency to think that someone has dark angles about himself. So how to...
Blind corners, you would say in English. Yes, yeah. I think we all become charmed by a devotee who is humble and who is not afraid to talk about his weak spots, you know, or dark angel, dark angles, or blind corners. We feel very secure when a devotee honestly talks about his own weaknesses. There is in Danya Bodhika Vigyatam, in the art of prayer, which you will learn in the Govardhan retreat. This is a part where you confess to Krishna your incompetence. It's, and if we see this, we become charmed and so on. But I believe that what we should look for in a devotee is, how is his faith in Krishna? How is he with Krishna? How is he talking about Krishna? Let us go to the positive things. See, you will not solve the negative things about your life by concentrating on them. The only thing which helps us is to think about Krishna, put him in the heart. And devotees who can help us in this, they are our true well-wishers. Also, when we preach to devotees, let us not talk so much about the weaknesses of devotees. I talk now about the mirror thing because we are wanting to find out. I think everyone wants to find out how can we feel this helplessness in a genuine way. The basis question was a question which every one of us has. We are all in this situation. And I answered, be aware, desire to know, and then usually through devotees you will see where you can improve. Usually it comes. That's my experience. At least yesterday and today it happened to me. But this is really only one thing. This is the bitterness which we need, that our stomach can digest things, but we want to eat the sweets of Krishna consciousness. No one becomes strong by neem leaves. But also not, we need both neem leaves and sweets. Yeah. When we have neem leaves, bitter neem leaves help us to digest the sweets, and then we are strong. If we only take sweets, we look like a Bengali from an oversized Bengali from Calcutta, from all the sweets. I think any other Govindanandan.
When you spoke about this story about sheep, jackal,
yeah,
and then at one moment you said that sheep jackal found shelter at the
foxhole,
yes, and that means in comparison that we also find shelter at the lotus feet of our spiritual master, and then still there is
doubts sometimes can come,
and then we need to climb.
Radhe, yes.
So, considering this last part of the lecture where you said that when we come in the association of the Vaishnavas, then we have this effect of mirroring where we really see ourselves. And in the
if we want.
And in relationship with our spiritual master, we can also feel many times this mirroring where we feel, like this.
If we want.
And then we can use this as an excuse. Anyway, even if I take shelter of a spiritual master, still there will be this doubt coming. Maybe I should immediately take shelter of Srimati Radharani, like this. Because I am afraid of mirroring with spiritual master. And then I say, now I run immediately to Srimati Radharani.
Narahari Chakravarti Thakur is dealing with this point, which was very prevalent in the old Vaishnava society. And he had a revelation. He talked about a devotee lamenting very much, where are you, Vishwanath? Where are you, Gauranga? Where are you, Nityananda? So this devotee became so much pained in separation that he rolled on the ground before Gopeshwara Mahadev. And finally, he was shown a vision. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur showed him the vision. Everyone is here. Why are you lamenting? And he saw Gonitai. He immediately wanted to go to Gauranga, pay his obeisances and wetten his feet by his tears. But Gauranga took him, said to Nityananda, "Who is it? Is this yours?" No, said Nityananda. And then they brought this devotee down the Guru Parampara. Aveta, is he yours? Shivas, is he yours? No, Vita, no. Then this. Then finally they brought him to his spiritual master. And the spiritual, yes, he is mine. He is crying for mercy. And then the spiritual master again handed him upwards until finally he came before the lotus feet of Nityananda and Gauranga and served them directly. If I would be a religious, analytical person, I would make what did the author have in mind when he wrote this? But this is not how we approach Vaishnava literature. It's an important point in Vaishnava literature, let us take it like this, to not jump over the spiritual master. A point which we have heard many times, because Krishna apparently accepts only those who are the devotee of his devotees. And we know it's possible that diksha, shiksha, guru, this and that, but it must be done responsibly and not modern time, tiny wise. Mm-hmm. Good. Fine. So we have reached the end. I want to say one thing in passing. Please prepare yourself mentally now for the japa retreat. The japa retreat, we will have 3 days of 364 rounds days where devotees can chant 64 rounds. But I will recommend the devotees who are not used to this to work their way up to to 164 rounds day. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur indicates that one should increase the number of rounds by grantas. Grantas means 4 rounds, chum, 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 added. The idea is in kramas, in steps. Not that anyone chants with under duress. Duress means like. So there will be many, many helps. It will be very easy to chant. But it's very important that you start to ready your mind, that you are ready to go into the depths of your relationship with Krishna. It's very important. The japa retreat is a wonderful facility in Braj to come extremely close to Krishna. But you need to want that. It will require for most of us who are not chanting regularly high numbers of round. It will require that we wish this. It's about your relationship with Krishna. And then it will be very, very rewarding. You won't believe what happens. So please prepare yourself. But don't worry, it will be easy. And so. We also have reserved a place for the Radharani slideshow, by the way. So please make sure before that the Indian technique will accept what we did. Yes? So that it should be done before. I will introduce you to the technician, but actually it's on Govardhan retreat. It's on Govardhan retreat. Yeah, not on japa retreat. So we have time. But please remember Shabnam. It's very important. Hare Krishna. I hope I could say something to inspire you. May you be happy here in Vrindavan. I'm already thinking, I never want to leave. Oh, Krishna. Today we discovered the best place. It's a valley in Giriraj. You know, there's always this problem that people come and sometimes when you sit there, this is in a valley and you don't hear the noise from the street and you're just with Giriraj. And I've never experienced such a thing. No, 5 years ago when I went with the bicycle, I found a similar place. But this is the best. Krishna. do we have something for the devotees? What do we have? Srila Prabhupada ki Sisi Gaunitai ki Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Gaur.